Chapter 1. The rain was steady, cold, and stung as it hit my face, but I wasn't really paying much attention to it. I was still trying to figure out how my brother had had a freak automobile accident, and why I was standing in this cemetery helping to bury him. And I was angry. The army had taken its time getting me discharged. Adopting Chad's dog added 2 more days. And then the day before I flew in, David had an emergency he had to deal with. When I asked his wife Heather what it was all about, she had no clue. He just had to leave. My parents stood to my left, 2 of the hardest working and kindest people on the face of the earth. They had made my childhood and upbringing a joy. Beside them were Heather and her 2 children, Jocelyn 6 and Solomon 5. Her black veil failed miserably to conceal her tears. The kids didn't know what was going on, only that Daddy wasn't coming home. Jocelyn held her little pouting brother tight beside her. Beside Heather stood my sister Hannah, a Wisconsin conservation warden, 2 years older than me, and probably the toughest person I had ever known. And beside her stood her husband Mike, a 6'4", 230-pound fireman everyone called the Deacon. We were the only ones, besides our pastor, seeing my brother off. Mom and Heather wanted a small funeral. David's too many friends would grieve his loss at the reception this afternoon at Mom and Dad's house. I felt a cold shiver shoot through my body. But it wasn't from this awful weather. It was almost like a premonition that I couldn't quite figure out. 20 minutes later, we bowed our heads as the smartest person I had ever known was being lowered into a hole. I hugged Mom and Dad and told them I'd see them later. I walked to my car, shaking off the rain as best I could as I got in. And as I drove toward home, I almost missed the black suburban SUV that was waiting near the gravesite. I needed to get home and let Bullet out. 15 minutes later, I was pulling into the driveway of the house I was living in. It was the perfect 3 bedrooms, 2 bath bungalow with a fenced-in backyard. I opened the car door and stepped out into a light drizzle. It was still cold, but I was focused. I needed to let the dog out and then get ready to help Mom and Dad set up for this afternoon. I opened the door, and sitting 5 feet away was my beautiful half-breed, a half-German Shepherd, half-Belgian Malinois, retired K-9 that I had adopted from his handler and one of the best soldiers I had ever worked with, Chad Evert. Unfortunately for Chad, 6 days before my redeploying back to the States, he had been clipped by a Syrian sniper, leaving him paralyzed from the waist down. Not wanting to have his dog put down, he convinced me to adopt him. And there he sat, erect, ears standing tall and his tail wagging ever so slightly. "Come on, boy, let's go outside." And I walked to the back door and opened it for him. And then I unlocked his dog door so he could come in when he was done. Closing the door, I heard my doorbell ring, and as I walked toward the front door, I glanced out the window. That black Suburban was parked along the curb. I opened the door to 2 men wearing slightly wet trench coats and holding out their credentials. I thought it strange that one of them was wearing sunglasses. "We are Special Agents Reynolds and Davis. Are you Benaiah Khan?" I nodded. "I am. How can I help you?" "May we come in? We have a few questions we have to ask you." Not having a clue, I asked them in. "Can I get either of you gentlemen a cup of coffee or something?" They both shook their head, and then Reynolds began the questions. "When was the last time you talked with your brother?" I thought for a moment, shaking my head a bit. "It was a little over 6 months ago, before my last deployment." They looked at each other and then back to me with a serious look on their faces. "Are you military?" I shook my head again. "I was, but I just got out." And now I felt something was off. "Guys, what is this all about? We have reason to believe that your brother was engaging in domestic terrorism." I really had to let that settle in. The statement was preposterous. There is no way that David was engaged in domestic terrorism. No way. I was starting to get angry. Reynolds started again and then stopped. He looked past me and started to go for his weapon. "Don't do that. He'll rip your hand off before you can get it out of the holster." Reynolds froze, and then I said, "Bullet stay." And he would stand staring at Reynolds so long as he didn't suspect an aggressive move. Otherwise, he would do what he was trained to do. "Gentlemen, I really don't know what is going on, but David was not a terrorist. He was a patriot and my best friend. If I had any inclination he was going in that direction, I would have known it and I would have addressed it." Reynolds wouldn't give it up. "Well, we have more than sufficient evidence that he was. And We believe that he will somehow get in contact with you and try to share information. If you get anything from him, do not tamper with it. Call me immediately and I will pick it up. If you do tamper with it, you will be arrested as an accomplice. Do you understand? I didn't understand a thing about what was going on, but I had worked with enough self-important people who had authority in the past to want to drag this on. I understand. Now, if you don't mind, I have a loss to grieve. They walked out the door, and I watched them through the window get into their car and drive away. So, my dead domestic terrorist brother was going to contact me from the grave. Why are there so many imbeciles in the government?